We're certainly glad that you are here this morning. Know that we have a lot of visitors, and we're thankful for your presence and hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. I appreciate Dayton's confidence in the fact that I'm going to tie all this together, but we'll see how that goes. There are some people, after they hear a lesson, they still don't know how the title goes with the sermon, so that's okay. As long as I can get some points across, that's the main thing. Some of you are very familiar with this, A Tale of Three Trees. It's a folklore, and many of you may have read it to your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, for that matter, but it deals with the life of Jesus, and I thought it would be very appropriate on this occasion, so bear with me for a few moments. Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood and dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up. The first little tree looked up at the stars twinkling like diamonds above him. "I want to hold treasure," it said. "I want to be filled with gold and precious stones. I will be the most beautiful treasure chest in the world." And the second tree looked at the small stream nearby, which was trickling toward the ocean. It said, "I want to be a big sailing ship. I want to travel mighty waters and carry powerful kings." The third tree looked down into the desolate valley below. It said, "I don't want to leave this mountaintop. I want to be the tallest tree in the world so that I can grow close to God, and when people look at me, they will look to the heavens and think about God." Many years passed. The rains came, the sun shone, the winds blew, and the little trees grew very tall. The day finally came when three woodcutters climbed the mountain looking for trees. The first woodcutter picked out the tree which wanted to be a beautiful treasure chest. The tree looked forward to having its dream come true. The second woodcutter picked out the tree which wanted to be made into a big sailing ship. And when the tree was cut and falling, it thought, "Now I shall sail the mighty waters." The third tree was distraught when it saw the third woodcutter look its way and begin cutting it. It had wanted to stay on the mountaintop, and now its dream would never be fulfilled. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter took it to a carpenter's shop. But the carpenter did not fashion it into a treasure chest. It was made into a feed box for animals. Instead of being filled with treasure, it was filled with hay. The second tree was delighted when the woodcutter took it to a shipyard. But because of being made into a mighty sailing ship, instead of being made into a mighty sailing ship, it was formed into a small fishing boat. It did not carry mighty kings, but loads and loads of smelly fish. The third tree was left hopeless when the woodcutter cut it into strong beams and stored it into the lumberyard. All it had ever wanted to do was stay on the mountaintop and point to God. Many, many days and nights passed. The three trees nearly forgot their dreams. But suddenly, one night, golden starlight shone on the first tree when a very young woman gently placed her newborn baby boy in the feed box. Her husband whispered to her, "I wish I had my carpenter's tools with me. I would make a cradle for him." The wife squeezed his hand and smiled. She said, "This manger is beautiful." And the first tree knew that it was holding the greatest treasure that the world has ever known. One evening, a tired traveler and several of his friends crowded into an old fishing boat. The traveler fell asleep as the second tree quietly sailed out into the lake. And soon a thundering and thrashing storm arose. The tree knew it did not have the strength to safely carry its passengers through that terrible storm. The tired man was awakened. He stood up and stretched out his hand and said, "Peace, be still." The storm ceased immediately. At that moment, the second tree knew that it was carrying the King of heaven and earth. One Friday morning, the third tree was startled when its beams were yanked from the forgotten woodpile. It flinched as it was carried through an angry, jeering mob and placed upright in the ground. It shuddered when soldiers nailed a man's hands and feet into it. The tree felt ugly, harsh, and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose on an empty grave, the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. Every time people would think of the third tree, they would think of God's merciful sacrifice of his Son on the tree of Calvary. And that was better than being the tallest tree in the world. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 through verse 8. Romans 12, 1 through 8. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. You know, this is the time of the year when there are a number of people, children as well as adults, that have some very definite dreams of gifts that they hope to receive. And I hope that you will receive some of those gifts. Life would be a nightmare if we couldn't enjoy pleasant dreams. And we need to possess, however, the maturity to realize that every dream which we have will not come true. But we also need to possess the wisdom to understand that only when we dream can our dreams turn into realities. You know, there are some people whose lives have met and maybe even exceeded their dreams and expectations. And there are many other people who are extremely frustrated because their lives have fallen short of their hopes and their dreams. In fact, there are some people who refused to allow themselves the luxury of dreaming any longer, because none of their dreams have ever come true and they don't want to suffer disappointment again. But if the folktale of the three trees taught us anything, it was that God has a definite and purposeful plan for our lives, even if it does not conform perfectly to our dreams. And we generally learn, after the fact, that God's plan is even better than our dreams. There are a few important points that I hope each one of us will glean from today's text. The first one is in verse 1. In the dreams and the realities of your life, make certain that you remain a sacrificial servant of God and Jesus. Live a life that is service-filled. Have joy brought to your own life by serving others, even as we had in our prayer earlier, serving others that maybe have not been as fortunate as we are. In verse 2, let God transform you into what he wants you to be instead of conforming to your wishes or to the ways of the world. I really believe that God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for each one of us. And it may not line up exactly with what we have dreamed, we have thought. But follow God's plan, and you'll always be happy. Next, verse 3, be dependent on God and not self-reliant. So many times when good things are happening to us in this life, we want to pat ourselves on the back, or we want others to pat us on the back, telling us what a good job we've done. And we fail to remember that it is God who has given us the ability to do that good job. It is God who's given us the talents to accomplish those tasks. And we need to be more and more dependent on God and realize it is because of God that we're able to do what we can. Next, in verses 4 through 8, accept the fact that we are all unique individuals who need one another, and we belong to one another. Don't waste your life wishing it away. Let God mold you into the very best that you can be wherever you are at the present time. And I believe that you should also pray that he will help you to change what can be changed for the better in your life, and to graciously accept the things that either temporarily or permanently cannot be changed. We need to learn contentment. As Paul said, he was content in all things. He had some tough things that occurred in his life. He had some great difficulties. He had some tremendous persecutions that he endured. And yet he said, I have learned to be content in all things through Christ. We need to learn the same thing. I know that a number of you are into poetry. You love Helen Steiner Rice. I copied this from one of her books, and the title of this poem is Wings of Love. The priceless gift of life is love, for with the help of God above, love can change the human race and make this world a better place. For love dissolves all hate and fear, and makes our vision bright and clear so we can see and rise above our pettiness on wings of love. You know, although we do not know the precise day on which Jesus was born, isn't it wonderful that much of the world stops long enough to pay tribute to the birth of Christ and hopefully become a better place because of Jesus' birth and his death and his resurrection? I want us to briefly look at a few passages that deal with the life of Jesus, not just the birth, but with the life as well. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God." We talked about that a little bit last Sunday morning. What a surprise that had to have been to Mary and to Joseph and to all of their family to recognize that Mary was a virgin and yet still was to have a child that was of God, of the Holy Spirit, a child who would be the very Christ, the very Messiah. And then in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 7, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" Certainly there is attention that is paid in the New Testament to Jesus' birth. But even more importantly, he lived a wonderful life and a perfect life as our sacrificial lamb offered for our sins so that we could live with God for all eternity if we but obey him. Listen to John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, and then I'm going down to verse 34. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." At a time which many of the people of the world are thinking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want you to be thinking of him too. I want you to think of that great birth, and I want you to think of his wonderful life and how he died for you and me. And I want you to think about how you respond to Jesus as the Savior. Have you given your life to him? Do you believe in him with all of your heart? Have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed that Jesus is the Christ? Have you been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins? I hope and pray that you have done those things, that you're in a right relationship with the Lord even today. If you have not, what a wonderful time this would be to give your life to Him as He gave His life for you. Will you come as we stand and sing?